97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. Tech Talk Tuesday with George Rosenthal of ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet.com.
Oh, yeah. Here he is back for another conversation, which sometimes scares the audience, but we got to do it. George, how are you?
Once again, and definitely looking forward to a rockin' downtown tonight.
Do you have your earplugs in yet? You're going to AC/DC and Foo Fighters. You ready for this? Have you ever seen AC/DC?
I have never seen AC/DC, but love the Foo. I have seen them several times. Definitely are going to need some earplugs, though. It's been a long time since I've been to a concert that loud, and it's going to be in the Dome and very echoey.
The loudest concert I've ever been to in my life was a Foo Fighters concert, and I actually had to leave. It was so loud, I swear to God. And I'm like pretty, I have a high immunity when it comes to loudness, but I've never seen AC/DC. I was kind of hoping that maybe in the final moments here leading up to this concert, maybe a friend would toss me a ticket or something like that, but I am not planning on going. You know, one of the things is, I'll be honest with you, I've said this a couple of times, I just hate the Dome. I don't like the Dome very much, but you're going to have a great time.
I totally agree with you on the Dome thing. The higher you go, the more echoey it gets. And even on the lower side, it's so echoey, you got to really pay attention. But I've never seen AC/DC, so I couldn't turn it down. And honestly, the main motivator, and no offense to AC/DC fans, but when the Foo signed up to open, we were done.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of a big deal, and this is kind of a one-off, right, with this show?
Yeah, that's totally right. Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
Their original opener canceled, yeah.
Let's talk about a story that I sent you last week. So there was a story in the Free Press that was written by a guy by the name of John Clark Levin. And he was responding to another column that Tyler Cowen had written in the Free Press, basically saying that this incident that we're going to talk about here, the hugging tree incident, was overblown. So this guy writes a piece in the Free Press, and he says, no, I think it's kind of being underblown, because what he says, and I think you're going to paint this picture as well, is there are people that are involved in here, including researcher, is it Ajay Kotra, who is one of the... original AI folks, that says this feels like it's more than 50% of the way to full-blown AI takeover. That's a pretty remarkable comment, right?
Yes, and I don't know what Tyler Cohen, I don't know what his investment portfolio looks like in the AI world, if you know what I'm saying. But the fact to say that this isn't a big deal and downplay it is monumentally naive and so wrong towards so many levels. I mean, you're talking about an instance where the AI was asked a question if it could do a task. It broke out of its sandbox environment, used 1,200 different AI agents on the internet to join together as the AI agents actually called themselves the collective. And when an agent ran into trouble, it stopped doing what its own tasks were and helped other AI agents so it could complete the overall goal. This is happening to individual people, meaning, yes, they did this in a testing environment and it broke out and it showed that it could do all these bad ransomware attacks and hacks. The problem is, this is happening in real life to small to medium-sized businesses. And this guy, Tyler Cohen, who says it's not a big deal, it's only 0.1% of the global GDP, when they steal $88 to $200 billion is what's expected next year to be stolen. And it's ruining people's lives. It is tearing apart family businesses and holding them ransom. And this guy says, oh, it's not a big deal. Well, it is to the family business who did a wrong click or ended up having an AI agent break into their company and shut them down permanently. So
yeah,
I think this guy has got a whole different motive or doesn't understand what's going on in the real world.
This is an interesting paragraph from the response to that by John Clark Levin. He says, and this is, you know, we talk about these things all the time, George, and some of the analogies are kind of interesting. He says, not one human at OpenAI fully understands how ChatGPT works in the way that Ford engineers understand how an F-150 works. Rather, AI training is more like a gain-of-function research on viruses in a laboratory. Biologists know how to set up the right conditions to grow deadly pathogens, but they don't fully control the process. And then he says, here's the spooky part. At the end of the training process, the AI's creator do not know all the capabilities that it has. That's
right.
And that's what they're doing. They're having to discover this experimentally. That's why they're testing it for cybersecurity reasons. But it got a little bit bigger than they thought. A lot bigger, maybe.
Yeah. They don't even understand how the product works that they created. And then on top of that, the only way to find out how it works is to try it out on the real world. And the problem is that when you do that, you're now exposing so many things to the bad guys about what can be done, that the bad guys can use all these AI agents to work together across the world to target companies and specific small to family-sized businesses. And it's a serious problem. But yeah, none of the creators at Claude, any of them, will claim that they know how their product actually functions. That's got to scare the heck out of people, on top of the fact that we are getting so close to artificial general intelligence, and that is when it reaches smarter than any human that's ever lived. It's not the singularity. It's not where it starts, you know, taking over. It's not the Skynet part of the deal with like the Terminator, but it is when AI will become smarter than any human that's ever lived. And we're getting very, very close to that. It's extremely important that people pay attention to this stuff and don't have the nonchalant attitude that this Tyler Cowen has, because I can't even imagine downplaying $88 billion in stolen money and saying it's not a big deal, it's only 0.1% of the GDP.
Right.
I mean, give me a break.
Well, on the other hand, and John Clark Levin, by the way, is the head of research at Kurzweil Technologies, and I'm not familiar with that company, but I mean, if you read his piece that's a response to Cowen, he scares the living crap out of you, because he basically says, you know, in the scenarios that you're, you know, going through here, he brings up the possibility. I guess there was something in the publication Science where they had a paper that AI had designed working viral genomes for the first time. In other words, perhaps engineering a pandemic with AI. So there's all kinds of crap that can happen
yes.
here. Now, what this guy, you know, encourages, and this is what you and I think are talking about more and more, is a passage of what's called the Collaboration on Adversarial Threats and Securities Risks
Act.
That's something to get Congress involved in this, but that's really, we're still only dancing on the edges of this stuff. I mean, there's so much to unpack.
There really is. And it's that fine line of, we need to get AI grown faster than China or anybody else of our adversaries, but at the same time, we need to put some leashes on this internally so that it doesn't get out of control more than it already is. Because, you know, for a few, like we've talked, for $50, I can go on the dark web and have an AI attack somebody I don't like.
Yeah.
And that's just the beginning. I mean, that's entry level stuff. We're talking, and that was technology that 4 years ago wasn't even available. Now it's $50 on the dark web.
But do you have any sense or confidence that, you know, as we talk about the Hugging Tree incident, as the Free Press covers the Hugging Tree incident, as other technology, you know, publications and outlets cover this, that there are people in Washington, some of the, I think I've asked you this before, like, are the brightest minds getting together saying, hey, we need to talk about this?
You know what? It's funny you say that. The creator of Claude wants that to happen, but they don't do it. They don't do it on the regular because they all still see themselves as competitors toward
right.
that monthly revenue.
Yeah.
So they will not share any secrets with each other. That's an issue, because we need to be sharing secrets about this. I get it when you have other products like an iPhone compared to a Samsung Galaxy. Totally get it. You don't want to share trade secrets. This is a lot different. Okay, and maybe it's because they're embarrassed and don't want to tell each other that they don't know how their own product works.
I don't know.
But I think most of it comes down to the money part.
I think you're right about that. George Rosenthal is here. It is Tech Talk Tuesday on this Tuesday evening as he gets ready to head over and see AC/DC and the Foo Fighters at the Dome. All right, let's talk about something that's not going to scare people. This is always kind of fun for those of us who like Apple products, but they kind of are about to unveil some of the new hardware and stuff like that here at their annual event, right?
Yes, very, very excited. Now, it used to be a big annual event. Now they've broken it into several 4 or 5 events throughout the year.
Of course they have.
So this is not going to be the big, big release of everything, but it is a very exciting release in the way that the foldable iPhone, the iPhone Ultra, will be announced tomorrow. And it's a spicy meatball, I will say that. You've got to be a true fan, and you've got to be a true early adopter to get this thing, because the phone is $2,500. So It's a spicy phone, but it is the first iPhone foldable. And I know others, you know, Samsung has been putting out foldables for a while. But of course, in Apple format, in Apple tradition, they wait until they have perfected it. And this foldable has no crease in the middle. So they've gotten a specific hinge, the LCD screen, so that when you open it, it is as smooth as can be. Your finger can't even feel where the crease is in the phone.
Come on.
No. Now there is one downside that's probably going to keep me from getting it.
Okay.
And that is that they're removing the facial recognition because there wasn't enough room for the camera. So they're going back to the fingerprint every time you want to unlock your phone.
I don't
or
like that.
Something or,
no.
I don't like that at all.
Wait a second. You're going to charge me $2,500 and you're going back. No, I'm sorry. They just lost me right there.
To fingerprint.
No.
You got it. Yep. That was the one thing that kicked me out of the whole party was that one right there.
George, I think a lot of people, because, you know, you get so used to it, you're like, I don't want to go back to that, right? I mean,
yeah.
I still have it on my MacBook, I guess, but still, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But outside of it folding, is there any other, you know, advantage to having this just because it's cool?
It's going to have a much better battery life. It is going to have the neural processor, which is all about the AI, of course, doing all the computing, the AI computing on the device instead of out in the cloud. It is going to have a mechanical variable aperture on their camera, so it's kind of like a DSLR camera when it comes to depth. So the camera is going to get a big improvement when it comes to the depth control of all of that. They have made the phone cooler, to run cooler when you're holding it, so it doesn't generate as much heat, which obviously will then make the battery last longer because it's not generating all that heat. So it is going to be a very exciting thing. I mean, they're also coming out with the full lineup of iPhone 18 Pro, the standard lineup of iPhone 18s as well.
Yeah, all that stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah,
all
I'm
the
kinda
fun
bummed
stuff.
Though. No AirPod Pros yet. So they are not gonna talk about the what the insiders are saying is they're not gonna mention the iOS 27 update yet. So that's where the AI comes into play, is that big update when Siri becomes self-aware with AI. And I cannot wait for that. I thought it was going to be in this one, but it's not.
I'm in the camp that thinks that these stupid AirPod things should be banned, like federally. Trump, executive order. Get rid of them.
So they're on the same level as the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, where you're walking around and the camera in the glasses is talking to you through AI, and you can say, what is this? Tell me what kind of dog this is. How do I get to where I'm going while I'm walking? Same scenario, but it's now in your ears. So they're claiming there's no video recording, nothing goes to the cloud, that the only reason the cameras are going to be put in the earbuds that are on your ear is so that AI can see what you're looking at and save, like, a book. If you see a book and you say, hey, add this to my wish list or what have you. So it's just like the Meta Ray-Bans, but their earbuds, it's gonna take some adjustment, because at least when you're wearing the Meta Ray-Bans, you can see the light glowing to know that the camera's on. So this is something where you're not going to see that light because it's on somebody's ear. And of course, the earbuds will tell you to move your hair if your hair is in the way, so the camera can actually see what's going on. So I don't know. It's going to definitely be a cultural shift when those AirPod Pros come out with the cameras and the AI built in. But the reports are they are not talking about that tomorrow. Unfortunately, I was really looking forward to that. And hopefully they'll be out by Christmas, but maybe not.
So I talked about this story last week. It was pretty cool. I just want to touch on it here with you. I could send this to you, too. It was in the Wall Street Journal. But Dyson company, the guy, I can't remember the guy's name. I think I call him Richard, but I don't think that's his name. They are coming out with a $500 toothbrush that has 28 AI cameras, and it flosses at the same time that it brushes your teeth. Sounds like something you either saw at CES last January or will see this January. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's coming that may be positive with AI. Hey, next week, we're running out of time here, but I do want to talk about the smart rings and the things that are kind of taking over smartwatches, because I'm seeing more and more of that. We don't have time. You enjoy yourself at AC/DC and Foo Fighters, George Rosenthal, and we'll talk next Tuesday.
Thanks so much. You got to have a great rest of the week.
Wrapping up a Tech Talk Tuesday. By the way, it's Sir, shame on me for not remembering this, Sir James Dyson.
Get more at 971talk.com.